descriptions foretell the glory, and then in the New Testament we shall see glimpses of the glory of the King of Glory before the glory is realized. Psalm 72, verse 10. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall render tribute. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Isaiah 26. Verse 19, thy dead shall live, my dead bodies shall arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast forth the dead. And one other scripture that I will read to you from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 verse 1, behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant whom ye desire, behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts. But who can abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them as gold and silver, and they shall offer unto the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in ancient years. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that in our darkness you have shined upon us, and you have made known unto us the mystery of thy will, and thou hast told us that the essence of it is that you are determined to head up all things in Christ. We rejoice in this. It is your determination, and it is our desire that in all things he should have the preeminence. And our Father, let us know that, as the psalmist says, and as the author of Hebrews says, we see not yet all things subjected to him. But our Father, we have had glimpses of his glory that is going to come. And we thank you for the comfort, for the assurance of our souls from what we have seen, not with our eyes, but with the eyes of those who did see and confirm the truths unto us. We thank you for all these things pertaining to Christ. So, our God, when hands would hang down and knees would be feeble, and the hope of the coming of the Lord is being banished, we pray, our Father, that thou shalt revive our hearts, and know that every promise of God shall be fulfilled, that no word of God shall be without power. We thank you, Father, for this day in which we have come and remembered thy Son. We can say with the psalmist, we have thought on thy loving kindness in thy temple, O God. They thought there, and we have thought in this building, the simple elements, bread, the fruit of the vine, but we thought on thy Son, your loving kindness, his loving kindness. And Father, thy word was preached, that the seed sown in the heart remain there and bring forth fruit abundantly and build up thy people with the word of God. And this night, again, we desire a handful of purpose. So, by thy Spirit, impart truth and prepare hearts and empower lips and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. In these past 3 weeks, I have told you that there is a desire of the wicked concerning God's Son, and there is desire of the righteous. For 3 weeks now, I have told you how these desires have clashed, and they continue to clash, but I showed you in prophetical form that the desire of the wicked would perish, that the memory of the wicked would rot. And I showed you that the desire of the righteous would be realized. But all of this was by faith. By that I mean that I gave you prophecies that have not as yet been fulfilled. Like the author of Hebrews says, thou hast put all things under his feet. It said, but we see not yet all things put under his feet. So here is a prophecy of something that's going to happen, but nobody has ever seen it happen. But what I'm telling you tonight is about glimpses of the glory of our Lord of glory, or King of glory, before that glory. Our Savior put it this way. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written, ought not, and he speaks of himself, to have suffered and entered into his glory. The sufferings of Christ, the glory that should follow. His glory was seen 40 days, and then he was seen no more, save on an occasion when Stephen looked into heaven, and when Paul saw him from heaven. But from that day to this, we have no credible account that anyone has seen the Lord Jesus as they did. And yet, all of these promises about this King of glory and Lord of glory are contained in the Word, and yet not one of them has ever been fulfilled. Not one promise. The promises that were to be fulfilled during his lifetime were fulfilled, but there were promises that were not fulfilled in his lifetime that refer to the time when Christ should enter into his glory. But what God has done is this. At first, when the prophecies in the Old Testament were given, they were embraced by faith. No one ever saw them fulfilled. But then, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, and all of the prophecies that were to be fulfilled during the days of his flesh were fulfilled. But there were multitudes that were not fulfilled, and there were other prophecies and promises spoken by our Savior that were yet to be filled, that were not seen by the eyes of men. But what God has done is this. He has encouraged us so that not by faith, but by sight, some of these promises can be embraced. This is what I mean. If Isaiah and if Zechariah and if the prophets of the Old Testament saw the Lord and prophesied concerning the days of his flesh, and then after so many hundreds of years, he came upon the scene and these prophecies were fulfilled, does that not give you assurance that the prophecies that have not as yet been fulfilled shall ultimately be fulfilled? Do you not see that? Then it is no longer faith alone, but it is faith that gave way to sight, but then again, faith is enjoined upon us, and we wait for the completion of the other promises that God has made in his word, but now we have assurances that what he did promise shall be fulfilled. And that's what I want to show you from these portions that God has given us tonight, even in his lifetime. They are glimpses. They are not the fulfillment of these promises, but they are glimpses of the promises that shall be fulfilled. And the first one is this. It is the acknowledgement, the worship, the bestowal of gifts upon our blessed Savior by kings and all nations in the future. Now, turn to Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And now, look down at verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And they came to the house, and saw the young child, and Mary his mother. And they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. This is a glimpse of the glory that shall be fulfilled in the future during his lifetime. Now, who would think that a babe of such insignificance that no one would give way and place to him, that he might be born with honor in a respectable place? Who would think that dignitaries from the east would come to worship him and bestow gifts upon him? But they did. Here are the wise men, and upon our Savior they bestow gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and I rejoice that it says that they fell down and they worshipped him. So here is a glimpse of the glory of what shall be realized in the future, when not as an infant, but as a full-grown man, not in a house, not in a place of lowliness, but sitting upon a throne, the throne of his father David, surrounded by the 12 apostles, it says that he shall receive the homage of kings. And it mentions the various places from which they come. It says the kings of Sheba and of Seba shall bring him gifts. And it says all nations shall worship him. And that is what God is showing us now. He shows us this. He gives us a glimpse of it now, so that our faith shall be encouraged. This Savior that was crucified, why would anyone think that someday the universe shall worship him? That foreign dignitaries and kings shall come and give him gifts? Because God said, "I have seen to it that when he is born, his birth is announced by a star, and he receives the glory from those of the east, and they come and honor my son as they should." So this is a glimpse, and it is going to be fulfilled fully in the future. But you get a glimpse of it from Psalm 72 during his lifetime. That is why it's so important. There are some things that were prophesied that were fulfilled, and that emptied the prophecy. That prophecy was fulfilled. But there are other prophecies, and though they were not fulfilled, God has seen to it to encourage our faith in the fulfillment of that prophecy. He gives us a glimpse of what shall happen in a fuller, more glorious way in the future that happened during the lifetime of our Lord. All right. This is what happened to our Savior at his birth. Now, the wicked, every time God would demonstrate who he is and what he is, the glory that is rightfully his, you will find that the enemy comes and seeks to take away that glory. Because while you had the wise men from the east searching out the Savior to worship him, to bestow gifts worthy of him, while they are doing that, in the background, Herod is waiting to kill this king. He would destroy him. Why? Because I told you in past weeks the desire of the wicked. When shall he die? And when shall his name be blotted out. So in the background, just as it says in Psalm 23, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And here are enemies that would destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. But while there are those who would destroy him, God is preparing a table and they're able to do nothing. And though Herod would destroy him, instead of being destroyed, the Lord Jesus is being worshipped and the Lord Jesus is having gifts bestowed upon him by these wise men from the east. God delights to do those things. He delights to do this. And remember, what I'm telling you is likened unto this. If I ask you about the brutal treatment of our Savior just before he was crucified, you would tell me that his face was more marred than any man. You will understand that he was pummeled and buffeted, that he was scourged, and all of these things happened. And yet, while God allowed all those things to happen, God had put forth this prophecy, not a bone of him shall be broken. And no matter how long and how hard they wanted to lash the Savior, they could not break a bone. And if they wanted to drive the nails in his hands and the spear in his side, it doesn't matter. God said, go ahead and do it. Try and break a bone. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And it seems, as we go through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, as if he lived a precarious life of existence. But what happened was this. While God lets us see that, the dangers in the life of Christ, he always shows us that he is in control in the background, and he allows man to do so much, but no more. When Satan would destroy Job, God says, you can only go this far. You can only do this much. So, the glory that Christ had to wait for, the glory that I tell you shall be his, into which he shall enter. Open the gates and the King of glory shall come in. He never entered in during the days of his flesh. And this is what God wants us to know. But God gives us glimpses even in the days of his flesh, showing that had he desired, he could have given him that glory at that time, and he could have compelled all men to worship him. Now, this. Concerning those that are Gentiles. Turn to John 12. John 12. Do you see that these are but glimpses of that glory? Things that are going to transpire in the future. The Lord does not let them transpire during the days of his flesh, but he gives us an inkling. He lets us see it in miniature, so that we'll have hope as to its complete fulfillment in the future. John chapter 12, verse 20. Now, there were certain Greeks, here are Gentiles, among those that went up to worship at the feast. These therefore came to Philip, who was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And when our Savior hears of this, the thought of having to go to the cross and die, not for Israel only, but for the world, he says, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and dieth, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And here are Gentiles that are coming to see Jesus. And I read you in Psalm 72, not only would kings come and worship and bring presents, but it speaks of all the nations shall come and fall down before him. And so God shows us here a few Gentiles that come to see Jesus. Think of its importance. Think of the importance when we consider the centurion, when we consider the Syrophoenician woman. Why? Because the Lord Jesus had said, go not into any way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yet when Gentiles came, he tried, it seemed, to send them aside. But the woman that was a Syrophoenician refused to be rejected. And finally the Lord said, woman, great is thy faith. What you wanted, it's yours. Go away. So this woman who had no claim, it's not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, yet here is a Gentile dog, and she comes and gets the very thing that she asks of the Savior, who had said to his disciples, don't go to the way of the Gentiles. I'm giving you these miracles. I'm giving you this message for the Jews. So here is a picture in miniature of our Savior who is sought by Gentiles, who is worshipped by kings, who has homage and tribute bestowed upon him. And God says, look at it now, because this is not going to be the way that it's going to be until, as the Savior said, I shall not partake of the fruit of the vine until I eat it anew in the kingdom of God. So this is what God is showing us now. All right, another scripture I want you to see. Turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. You remember our Savior, and this is a prophecy that is fulfilled from Zechariah chapter 9. This prophecy is literally fulfilled. Indeed, it is a picture of what is going to happen again in a more glorious way, but this was fulfilled to take place in the days of his flesh. So our Savior comes in. I do not want to dwell upon that, but it says in verse 12, and Jesus entered into the temple, and of the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he saith unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, I read you from the book of Malachi, and the Lord whom you seek shall come suddenly to his temple. And then it speaks of his purging and purifying. And what God does is this. To show you in John's Gospel at the beginning of his ministry, and in the Synoptic Gospel at the end of his ministry, that indeed he did come suddenly into the temple, and he purged that temple. Think, here is a man, unarmed. In John's Gospel, it says he made a scourge of small cords, and he went in and single-handedly, he drove out all of the cattle and the doves and the money changers and all of those that were occupying the temple as if it were a den of robbers. He drove them out. Why? Because in a coming day, you're going to find other charlatans, other false prophets, leaders, that are monopolizing upon the nation of Israel, leading them astray. And the Lord Jesus shall come suddenly to his temple. But the difference is this. I told you it was a miniature. Instead of a scourge of small cords, and instead of words of reproach, it says he shall slay them with the breath of his mouth, and out of his mouth proceedeth a sharp two-edged sword, and the Lord Jesus Christ shall come. And just as it was no difficulty, unarmed, save with that scourge of cords, to drive them out, in the coming day all his enemies shall rise up in opposition against him, and the Lord Jesus shall destroy them to a man. And that is why, when the millennium starts, there will not be one sinner on the earth. Finally, the earth is going to be purged. There will be those who still have a sinful nature, but there won't be one left that has not been born of God. And at that time, the Savior will indeed have cleansed his temple. He will come suddenly, and all of these things that were prophesied in the Old Testament, they shall be realized in their fullness. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 17. I read you that portion in Isaiah that men like to spiritualize, like the portion about the dry bones in Ezekiel, the restoration of the nation of Israel. I take it that Isaiah 26 refers to the resurrection of the dead. No explanation now. But this is what I want you to see. That in Matthew chapter 17, and the preface to it is this, verse 28 of 16, verily I say unto you, there are some of those that stand here who shall in no wise taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Do you see? The Lord Jesus spoke a parable about a certain nobleman that went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And yet, his enemy sent an ambassador after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so what God has done is this. The Lord, having gone back to heaven, having been seen by no one for hundreds of years, he went to receive a kingdom. Well, evidently he did not receive that kingdom. God says, I want to give you something to encourage you during that interval of time. I want you to understand this. Two things. I want you to understand about the coming of his kingdom. And at the same time, let me show you what happens. Look now at verse 1, 17. 17:1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his garment became white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter answered and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them, and said, arise, and be not afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one save Jesus only. Do you remember that it says that we beheld his glory? If it's speaking of this outward splendor, then for a brief hour, his glory was seen by Peter and James and John, while the nine apostles are powerless down in the valley. Again, I am showing you what is happening. Christ is being glorified. His glory is being seen on the mount. And in the valley, Satan has overpowered this man's son, and the apostles are unable to do anything about it. Every time Christ is seeking to do something, then his enemy is seeking to do just the opposite. And when Christ comes down, then again, he takes over the situation, and he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him hither to me. And then with a word, he does what the others cannot do. All right, I want you to see this, that our Savior, who promised that he would come in his glory, in the glory of his Father, with the holy angels, he was going to establish his kingdom. I told you this morning that the Savior said in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. How could any apostle ever expect that to be realized? Peter, James, and John would expect it to be realized. And Peter tells of it when he writes his second epistle. We saw his glory, the majestic glory. He says, we have seen it. And therefore, this gives us a double assurance. Yes. We have faith that it's going to happen again, but we have seen it happen in miniature. We have had a glimpse of the glory that would come. But now, I, for the sake of time, am tying in two things here. I can give you John 11, where Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Here are Moses and Elijah, who for hundreds of years had passed off the scene. Elijah, taken up to heaven in a chariot and a whirlwind, and Moses, dead and buried, God alone knows where. But after all of these years, when the Savior's glory is to be seen by Peter, James, and John, he brings two representatives with him, one who was raptured to heaven, and one who passed through death and would be resurrected. Understand, this is in picture. It hasn't taken place yet. No one was ever resurrected before the Lord Jesus in the fullest sense of the word. But it shows that God, as the promises that he made in Isaiah 26, thy dead shall live, the earth shall give forth those that are lying buried in it. How could anyone deny it when Moses, whose body had been dead for hundreds of years, is now alive, and he is conversing with the Lord Jesus? Moses and Elijah are talking with the Lord Jesus about his decease, and the word is his exodus that he's going to experience at Jerusalem. But now, notice, it happens in the presence of three for an hour, and then it's gone. The cloud overshadows them, and when the cloud is gone, they saw no one but Jesus. And they would wonder, did we see this? So, it is by faith I accept this, but it is not by faith that Peter, James, and John speak of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that they are going to see his glory. They have a certainty. Why? Because I've seen his glory once. I've heard the Father speak of him as my beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. And he said, listen to him. And I have listened to him. So this is a glimpse of the glory that is going to come. And it is a glimpse of the truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. As in the case of John 11, when Lazarus is dead, and the Lord Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. And that is a demonstration that he is the resurrection and the life, even though he himself was crucified, and no one has seen him save those two since that time. And yet the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, and in the coming day, the hour cometh, when all that are in the tomb shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall come forth. And so the Lord Jesus has demonstrated it by the appearance of Moses and Elijah, and also by the personal raising from the dead Lazarus. So when we read, thy dead shall live, it is not a faith that has never had any demonstration to trust in, but it is a faith that has had its fulfillment in the lifetime of Christ, and that is a double encouragement concerning things to come. These are the glories that Christ had written about him, glories of things to come. Now, think of this. Here is our Savior. And the drunkards are the ones who took his name upon their lips. It says in Psalm 69, he said, I am the song of the drunkards. And yet God has shown us when he comes into Jerusalem that for a while representatives of that nation of Israel are saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, in the name of our father David. And so for this hour, the Lord Jesus Christ is praised by a few of that nation, whereas in the coming day, it says, all Israel shall be saved. And as he came in upon that donkey that day and was praised by some, in another day he's going to come upon a different beast of burden, and he's going to be acknowledged by all, and he's going to be marveled at and glorified in that coming day. Why? Because God is determined that Christ should have the preeminent place, and that every knee should bow, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is a Lord to the glory of God the Father. But again, when this happened, while those inspired by the Spirit of God, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise, while they are praising, his enemies come and say, stop their praises. Don't you hear what they're doing? And the Lord Jesus said, if they kept silence, the stones would cry out. God is determined to let us see in the lifetime of Christ before the glory comes, glimpses of that glory that is certain to come. And this is what God wants us to realize now. And Psalm 72, the desire of the righteous, it says, let his name endure forever. Let his name be continued as the sun. Thank God, the desire of the righteous shall be realized, but the desire of the wicked shall perish. And we are the righteous, and all these desires of our hearts shall one day be fulfilled in the person of our Savior. Let us pray. Now, Father, let us know that all these things that we've read have to be taken completely by faith, but not by those that lived when he was on earth. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And Peter said, we saw his glory upon the Holy Mount. We are thankful, our God. And concerning thy dead shall live, We remember that the scriptures say that when he died, the tombs were opened, and many that were dead came out of the tombs and appeared to many in Jerusalem after his resurrection. We are thankful, our Father, that all of these things that you promised for the future, you have given a glimpse of them to some during the lifetime of Christ. So let this doubly assure our faith, our God. Let us have a faith that is not completely faith, that is devoid of any evidence, but a faith that has been strengthened by sight, the sight of others, and they in truth tell us what they have seen and heard. So fill our hearts with that encouragement, and let us remember the words that say, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And he that is athirst, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And we remember those last words, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." And those words are our words. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. The meeting is over.